I so like the theme this year of the meeting, who is Jesus? You know, the historian would say, who was Jesus? But for those of us in Christ, it's an in the present. Who is Jesus? Well, you know, this evening, there might be a lot of ways we can look at Jesus. But I want to look tonight for a little while at Jesus' hands. You know, the sum total of who we are obviously is more than the individual parts. But just for a moment, look down at your hands. You know, your hands tell you so much about you and about others. You know, if you shake hands with a man and his hands are rough, you might assume, correctly so, that he's a working man. Or maybe you touch the soft hand of a newborn infant and you know immediately that skin is fresh. You know, our hands identify who we are. We have fingerprints, and it's said that no two fingerprints are alike. Doctors can look at our hands and they can tell whether we sometimes have disease, whether there's chemical problems, or whether there's even poisoning in our body from our hands. And of course, we communicate with our hands. We beckon to come. We stop. We wave goodbye. Our hands are so meaningful, and it's our hands that can reach out with a gentle touch, or it's our hands that can reject and push people away. What about the master's hands? You know, one of the things that I think is so incredible about Jesus and who he is his hands. I did a little study on the hands of Jesus, and I guess you could do this for his feet or for his mouth or whatever part is utilized in the scriptures, but his hands stand out. You know, Jesus had hands that were quite remarkable. Now, obviously, the hands that we're going to speak of, and even in the literal sense, what Jesus did with his hands, really become a metaphor for who Jesus is, his characteristics, his quality, and what he offers us today. You know, first of all, Jesus had creative hands. In fact, if we go back to eternity past, the Apostle Paul, of course, tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus, or at least the divine Logos, created all things. All things were created by him and for him. And as I think about that, I think about the creative power of the hand of God through Jesus Christ. But I also think about the creative power of Jesus even as a human. You know, Jesus was raised by Mary and Joseph, and as we all know, Joseph was a carpenter. Now, we're not sure what kind of carpenter that was. Some believe he was a carpenter of wood, others of stone, because the same Greek word can be used for both. But you know, Jesus would have grown up in a family where he would have learned to have creative hands. He was not idle, even though he didn't begin his ministry till about the age of 30. He was not idle, and I'm convinced, according to Jewish tradition, that he would have learned the trade. He would have been creative like his father. You know, I love that picture that sometimes I'll see in Mardell's or other religious bookstores where you have the carpenter in a wood shop and he's working over there, an older man against the bench, and in the floor is a young little boy playing. And in that boy's hand is a nail. And of course, it's evident what is being portrayed there. Jesus would someday go to the cross and those nails would pierce his hands. But Jesus had creative hands. You know, Jesus also, though, had compassionate hands. How many times did Jesus reach out and touch those who maybe had never been touched before? You know, we need to have the hands of Jesus. In fact, as we sometimes sing, we are the hands of Jesus. But you know, Jesus had compassionate hands. Look at him in Matthew chapter 8. As he there reaches out and touches a leper. And the lepers of that day were outcasts. They had no human touch except for one another. They could not enjoy the hugs of their family and their friends. They couldn't enjoy the compassion of their fellow Jewish people. They were outcasts. And yet Jesus reached out and touched them, never fearing that he himself might be tainted with the disease or tainted by ceremonial uncleanness. In Matthew 9, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. He reaches out and he touches her, and her life is brought back within her. In John 8, Jesus stoops down and with his hand, he writes in the soil as that woman taken in adultery stands there with her accusers, and Jesus ignores the accusers, and he writes in the soil. And one by one, those accusers, being convicted in their own heart for their own sins, no doubt, walk away. And Jesus rises and says, "Has no man accused you?" And she says, "No man, Lord." And he says, "Go and sin no more." Well, you know, Jesus is an individual who had and has compassionate hands. There's an occasion in John 9 where a blind man came to Jesus, and Jesus took his hand and with spittle made mud and put it on his eyes, and his eyes were healed. And then, of course, that great famous passage in Matthew 14 where the apostles are out on the Sea of Galilee and they've been rowing all night in the storm. And Jesus comes to them on the water, and Peter sees him, and at first they think he's a ghost. And yet when Jesus speaks out to them, Peter, recognizing the Lord, says, "Let me come to you on the water." And Peter walked on the water. But as he looked around, he began to sink. And you remember that Jesus reaches out his hand and he saves Peter from drowning. And then, of course, toward the end of Jesus' life, and there are so many other examples, but toward the end of Jesus' life, even in the dark garden, when Peter pulls out his sword and is going to defend Jesus' life, and he aims, no doubt, for the head of Malchus and yet catches his ear, Jesus reaches down with his hand and heals the ear of the high priest's servant. Jesus had compassionate hands. And today, as we look at who Jesus is, and as we look at who we want to be like Jesus, we need to have the same type of hands that reach out to the needs of others. But you know, Jesus also had consecrating hands. I so love the picture that is painted by the Gospels on the last night of Jesus' life. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover elements, bread and the fruit of the vine, and he consecrated them. He took them in his hands. He broke bread with his hands. He ate with his hands. He gave with his hands to the apostles. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He consecrated just basic elements. He took the cup filled with the fruit of the vine, basic elements, and he consecrated them, saying, "This blood is the new covenant," or "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." You see, Jesus took things and made them special. He took the common. He took the ordinary and he consecrated it for the glory of God. You know, Jesus can do that for us today. We're ordinary, as Brother Frank has pointed out. I love that illustration that Frank used. We're just jars of clay. And yet Jesus can take us, and through his consecrating hands, when we yield to the potter, he can form us into vessels of honor for him and for God. But you know, Jesus also had crucified hands. You know, no sooner did Jesus institute the Lord's Supper and then, of course, go out with his apostles to the Mount Olive, to the Garden of Gethsemane, then the chief priests and the soldiers begin to come and begin to prepare to arrest him. And of course, they took Jesus, and you remember as he goes before Annas and Caiaphas and Pilate and Herod and back to Pilate, remember that they mock him. They place in his hands a reed, and they begin to mock him, saying, "King of the Jews." They begin to bow the knee. They begin to ask him, as he was blindfolded, who hit you? You see, Jesus had hands that went through all of that. But then he went out to the cross. His hands helped carry, at least for a time, till he fell beneath the weight, the cross beam, upon which his hands then were laid out and nails driven through them. And the blood would ooze, and the pain would be excruciating. And the sacrifice that he made for us was the ultimate sacrifice of not only leaving God, but dying. You see, Jesus' hands are really where it's at. Jesus, with his hands, the hands that had created the world, reached out and allowed his hands to be pinned to a cross so that he might embrace us, those of us in sin. Jesus' hands are so meaningful in his crucifixion. And when we see the pictures that are so beautifully painted of hands with nails through them, it simply shows us a very small way of what Jesus went through. But you know, Jesus also has confirming hands. There's a wonderful little story, of course, or an account in John the 20th chapter. Remember that Jesus had risen from the dead and he had appeared to most of the apostles, but of course, Thomas was not there. Thomas had forsaken the assembly, we might say. Well, a week goes by, and of course, Thomas, he doesn't believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. And he tells the apostles, I don't believe it. In fact, unless I see his hands, unless I'm able to take my hand and thrust it into his side, I will not believe. Jesus appears. He appears and he says, Thomas, here am I. Take your hand. Put it into the scars of my hand. Take your hand, put it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. You see, Jesus confirms, helps us confirm our faith. You know, Jesus provides what it takes for us to have faith that Thomas should have had all along. His word. Jesus had given his word about who he was and what was going to happen. He had hinted throughout his ministry and then come right out and said, the Son of Man is going to be crucified. But the apostles were slow of hearing. They were dull of hearts, and they didn't get it. But Jesus, with his confirming hands, at least to Thomas, beyond doubt, confirmed to Thomas who he was. But you know, lastly this evening, Jesus also has conciliatory hands. You know, to be conciliatory means that you reconcile something. You know, Jesus has reconciling hands. In fact, the very reason that Jesus took upon himself flesh and tabernacled with us was so that he could give his body and then die for us, rise again, and ascend to heaven, where there he can be there to welcome us. You know, I look forward to the day, and I guess if we think of it in metaphorical terms, I look forward to the day when we can reach out our hand and Jesus will reach out his hand. You know, some believe that Jesus, even in the eternal state, will have the scars in his hands. I don't know if that's true or not. It's a beautiful sentiment. But I do know that even metaphorically, Jesus is there to reach out and to welcome us home. But you know, really, it takes something more than Jesus reaching out. It takes us living hand in hand with Jesus. You know, there's an old song that we used to sing, and I love this song. I don't know if we sing it much anymore, but it goes like this. Once from my poor sin-sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk, redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus, I cannot stray, hand in hand with Jesus. When the stars are backward rolled and my home I shall behold, I will walk the street of gold, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus, I cannot stray, hand in hand with Jesus. Is your hand in the hand of Jesus? If not, why not?